At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Welcome to Open Floor. I'm your host, John Gonzalez. Normally, you can hear me as the host of our flagship podcast, Sports Illustrated Weekly, available every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Please listen and subscribe. I am filling in for Mike, Chris, and Rohan, who were unavailable, although I suspect they were ducking me, or at least Mike and Rohan were, which we will get into. But in the interim, very excited to be joined by a special guest. He's one half of the hilarious basketball show, Pod Don't Lie. Stavros Halkias is here. Stav.
Hey, how we doing, John? Dude, I'm thrilled to be back. You know, sports, this is my second time on Sports Illustrated. You guys are losing credibility by the moment. the fact that I'm back.
Listen, we got to get the big guest.
Yeah, exactly. You had to get a big guest. I'm so thankful that whoever the hosts are ducking you, whatever guest they were supposed to have is probably ducking them. And here we are. We're the replacements, basically.
It's next man up.
I'm Keanu Reeves right now.
Next man up will come off the bench. I suspect, Stav, to be honest with you,
yeah,
that they were setting us up for some sort of chaos because, you know, you're a New Yorker, you're a Knicks fan, I'm from Philly, I'm a Sixers fan. I think that they expect us to war, but little do they know that we have already bonded over many different things, including our shared hatred of the Celtics.
That's the nice thing. Anyone on the Mid-Atlantic, Northeastern corridor, because that's the other thing with me and Sam. So I am a Knicks fan because I grew up in Baltimore, and I would never adopt a DC team. So the Wizards, even though I was, you know, a teen when Jordan was playing there and I was watching those games every night, I could never adopt the Wizards. And so when I moved to New York and I basically want to be here my whole life, I was like, all right, I'm adopting the Knicks, you know, cause I need a team, but that doesn't translate to other fandom where it's like, you know, like Ravens, I'm a Ravens fan, I'm an Orioles fan. So me and Sam, whenever it comes to baseball or football, we're at each other's throats. The one thing that always bonds us is, you know, our shared Boston area hatred, whether it's the Red Sox, the Patriots, and especially, you know, I love rooting against the Celtics. It's tough. I will say this, it's breaking my heart that they're threading a weird needle here where they're almost cool, and it's really pissing me off, I have to be honest.
I mean,
they were dorks. That's their whole thing.
I was behind enemy lines for 4 years, lived there for 4 years, and I have a bunch of friends from Boston, and I say this in all sincerity, they're the worst. They're the absolute worst people I know.
Yes.
They constantly are fucking me whenever Boston does something successful in sports, which is all the time, and they're obnoxious.
Right.
So, but we're going to get into that. So you and I, both East Coast guys at heart, you physically still on the East Coast. I've moved
still
to LA, but my heart still on the East Coast. So the Eastern Conference is really good and tight and has been all season long. And it's like one of the best Eastern Conference seasons in recent memory, certainly in a very long time. So I thought what we would do is you and I will go through these Eastern Conference teams, break
Love
down
it.
The state of each of these guys and figure out
Love
which
it.
Ones are actual contenders. So
I love it because since the Knicks are out and look, now people are going to,
we're going to
sound
them,
like, since I'm going
to
say, and I got plenty of Knicks thoughts. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. But I also, the other thing we bonded over is our Greek, you know, I'm Greek. I mm-hmm. grew up between Baltimore and, you know, my summers in Greece, and you have, you know, you wrote that great piece about, Patino. I'm getting my crooked Italian coaches confused. You wrote that incredible Patino piece that I literally read the second it came out. It's one of my favorite pieces of, and you really captured, like, you know, what it is to be a Greek bat. I mean, just a Greek sports fan where it's like, yeah, no, this American sports, as much as we like to, you know, rib Boston or whatever, people have gotten stabbed over like Greek basketball games, and they don't even like basketball that much. It's a soccer place. Basketball is like their little, you know, it's like the backup sport, but they will, you know, they set off like, you know, And you capture how fireworks inside. I mean, it's insane. Inside. It makes no sense.
I think, and we'll get to this when we get to your when we talk about Giannis.
That's what I'm going to say here. I wanted to prep where it's like I also have been following Giannis's career since the grainy, since the like you know in the gym playing against 5 foot seven guys. Those videos, like I was
those kids.
He crushed them. I was pumped. I was rooting for him. I remember being like upset. No disrespect to Milwaukee when Milwaukee drafted him, because I was at the time I was like, send him to Toronto, send him to you know, just send him to like somewhere big where city. They like you know exact big city that they you know really were good at developing people. And I'll eat you know I've eaten crow on that. I'm happy. And when he was about to leave Milwaukee, I was like, hell yeah! I had the Miami Heat Photoshop jersey ready to go. I had the Dallas him and Luka Photoshop jersey ready to go. I've eaten my words. I'm a Milwaukee guy. I've eaten, you know, I'm there. I'm gonna try and go to the playoffs, eat some bratwurst, and watch him. So I also am a Giannis fan. Don't call me a flip flopper here, folks. But I love Giannis due to our ethnicity. So
yeah, I mean that he's your countryman. All my Greek buddies. You know, you and I were bonding over this before the show, but you know, I'm friends with like 25 people who are all Greek Americans and have family in Greece. And I've been to Greece many times. And you mentioned the Patino story that I wrote, and they're all the same. They have, you know, most of them are Philly and New Yorkers, so they root for the Sixers or the Knicks. But everybody roots for Giannis.
Yeah,
they should. He's so much fun.
Yes.
All right. So you mentioned the Heat. We're going to start at the top of the Eastern Conference. As we record this, the Heat are nominally in first place. They're the only team in the Eastern Conference to clinch a playoff spot so far, but Stav, I don't know if you saw what happened the other night.
Oh, I saw, baby. I'm licking my chops.
Against the Golden State Warriors, not only did the Heat lose at home, but they imploded with no one. They imploded in full public view of everybody. There's a huddle, and Udonis Haslem gets after it with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, I guess, was acting up a little bit. Udonis puts him in his place. And the weird thing here, I want to run this past you, because so Jimmy was fighting a two-front war, which we all know you can't do.
Yes.
Military strategy tells you bad idea. But so he gets in an argument simultaneously with both Udonis Haslem and his coach, Eric Spoelstra. And so two things happen. I want to ask you which one you thought was better. Did you like Udonis Haslem telling him, I'll beat your ass, I'll beat your ass, or
yes.
Eric Spoelstra asking, what, you want me to bleeping fight you?
Yeah. I did like it because, I like the idea that the Heat are falling apart here. I like it because, back to Giannis, they seem like the most spiritually together team, and we can get into that. But I love that look, Udonis Haslem, it's like, that's what the guy is there for. Like, to me, it was like he's on call to deal with this exact thing. That's the only thing he gets paid for is to like throw his body in front of the coaching staff. He's basically the coach that will fist fight a player if he gets a little mouthy, right? So to me, that was Udonis going through the motions, if anything. It didn't even feel particularly inspired to me. But Spo, literally, like, his energy, I mean, he was like, what, you want to fight? But he wasn't backing down. And that was, again, I think he's the best coach in the league. And he is, and that's part of it, too, where it's like, it's not just that he is an incredible, you know, I mean, to get this team to be number one in the East right now, although I think it's going to fall apart, fingers crossed here. This is the closest it's been in a while. Nice. Both Philly and the Bucks, I think, are only a game and a half behind them after they lost to the Warriors. Just what he's done is incredible, but it's also just swag. It's also just, he's got the sauce. You know what I mean?
The way
it's
he threw down that clipboard.
He was ready to
show Jimmy
rumble,
how heated
bro.
He was.
Yeah, like in a coach's melee, he's up there again. Probably Ime, again, I hate to be giving compliments to the Celtics. Probably Ime Udoka is the number one brawler. Like, if I had to pick a coach to defend me in single combat, it would be Ime Udoka. But Spo's up there just for feistiness, you know. And
he's younger and spryer. I think, you know, like, Pop would have some problems, right?
But I mean, it's been a long time since West Point for Pop. It's been a while. He's easy. Pop will fold quick.
Can I tell you that Jimmy Butler very quickly back down. Because, I mean, and I would too. Here's my list of people I would piss off before Udonis has them. Everybody else. Like, yeah. He's the oldest dude in the league, and when he says he'll beat that ass, everybody is like, yep, yes, sorry. Please do not beat this ass. Like, Jimmy's going to have to go into witness protection because, like, that's the last guy you want to get heated with.
Yeah, and it's because, and it's, that's the thing about him where it's like, he is old. And look, he at this point, he's starting to look like an old man. Like, I know in the grand scheme of things, he's not old, but in the NBA, he looks like, you know,
41.
Like, yeah, I mean, 41 is like, and he's staying in shape, obviously, because he's still, you know, at least probably jogging. I wonder how much practicing he even does. It's hilarious. I mean, I bet you, I mean, but anyway. Yeah, but he's also the kind of guy that, yeah, maybe physically Jimmy is in the prime of his life a little more, but Udonis Haslem will not lose a fight. He will, like, he will, every inch of his body, he'll, you know, break tendons if it means he has to beat the hell out of Jimmy Butler to defend the honor of the coaching staff. I mean, he's in there just to brawl. And yeah, it's almost that, like, if a guy's older and he can, you think he can beat you up, it's scarier because there's some kind of like weird, like intangible, like dad strength fear that he strikes into your heart. Whereas like with Jimmy, it's like, you know, as much, look, he's a tough guy, I guess, but he also has done a lot of like, you know, Carl Anthony Towns, he's Andrew Wiggins, like the guys he's put in their places are not at the time in their careers specifically. I mean, Cat seems to be hitting another level, but he kind of found, you know, he found guys that were kind of a little mentally easy to you know, make fold. And it's like, I don't think that's the case with either Haslem or obviously Spoelstra. I mean, Spoelstra, the Heat had Spoelstra's back. The Heat had Spoelstra's back when LeBron wanted to get him fired. You think they're gonna fucking? Oh, I'm sorry. You think the Heat are gonna side with Jimmy Butler over the coach that they said LeBron to kick rocks over? No chance.
Yeah.
So that's another cool thing about the Heat. It is a system, I will say.
Well, Heat culture does not look equal to this challenge, at least not right now, because they have lost two games in a row. So before this, like, intramural warfare that they had in full display in front of everybody, they also lost to the Philadelphia 76ers this week. And I bring this up, Stop, because before that game, I wasn't going to name names. So let's just say that the name rhymes with Rohan Nadkarni. Totally rhymes with, not actually his name. But he texted me, right? And he's a Heat fan. He's on this podcast regularly, I'm filling in for him. And he was gloating. And he said to me that Embiid and Harden were sitting out because they were ducking the Heat. And what happens, the Sixers with like Tyrese Maxey and a bunch of dudes from the South Philly Y roll over the Heat and win that game. And it was so satisfying, Stav. I like to see the Heat, you know, on one hand, just to see the Heat kind of implode this week a little bit, even though they've already clinched the playoff spot, makes me feel really good about it. But just can we talk about the Rohan component.
Of course, you've got it on Rohan, but the what's annoying about the Heat is I believe they've clinched it because they're a division winner and their division sucks. That's the other thing about like that's a little something we need to talk about with the Heat, where it's like that's a bit of the reason why they you know, they get to play the Magic more than other Eastern Conference teams. You know, it's just like the Southeastern division is the, you know, it's just like the Hawks have been, you know, way worse than you thought they were going to be this year. So there's a little bit there, but that's got to be delicious for you. That's got to be delicious to get it on Rohan. But I will say, as a Giannis backer, that was the best of both worlds for me. Because, yes, here's the thing. Philly, they've done a couple cowardish things here where they don't seem to want to play Brooklyn, right? They're sitting – and look, it's one thing to rest Embiid. It's like – but Harden, it's like – I don't know. Harden, I feel like, should be playing his way into shape a little bit. I feel like he's been resting a little much. He's looked a little sluggish, especially the honeymoon ended after they beat up on the Knicks back to back. You know what I mean? Once they had to start playing real teams.
That was a fun stretch.
That was a real fun stretch. But I think it seems like they're trying. I mean, they've kind of backed their way into tied for the second seed right now. But I don't know, man. I don't believe. They're not exhibiting the kind of like, we don't care who we play attitude that you'd like to see from a team like that. From a team that has an MVP and maybe this year's MVP, who, like, it all came together. You replace having, you know, you replace nobody essentially, or you replace Seth Curry essentially with James Harden, and you should be I mean, they should be puffing their chest out. They should be, Embiid should be trying to get the scoring title. They should be like destroying everything and figuring out their team on the way to the playoffs. But instead, I'm seeing a lot of rest days. I'm seeing Harden ducking the heat twice, you know? And as a Giannis guy,
I thought Ro wasn't on the show this week.
I'm sorry, bro.
This is like talking points straight from Rohan.
I'm sorry, bro. I got my pro Giannis cap. Once the Knicks fell completely out of the play-in, it's Bucks time all the way for me.
Switched
right now.
It over. I mean, that's fair. Like, what you're saying about the Sixers is fair. And let's bring this up, because after the Heat, there's three teams bunched up. Mention them. There's the Bucks and your guy Giannis. There's the Sixers and there's the Celtics, and they're all a game and a half as we record this behind.
Oh wow, were the Celtics tied too? I thought they were.
Yep, three of them are a game and a half back as we record this from the Heat. So they're lumped up in that group. And yes, I hear what you're saying to the Sixers point. And there's another guy that I want to bring up, because he made the same points that you did about Embiid and Harden and not sure like whether or not they'd be dominant together. And I wasn't going to name any names either. His name rhymes with Mike Pina. And so this guy who rhymes with Mike Pina said that, you know, he wasn't sure how they'd mesh together. And he was also concerned about these rest days. I look at it kind of in the opposite direction, right? Where they have had these rest days and they're still only a game and a half out, right?
Right.
It's kind of like, I like it as a rope-a-dope situation where the league is the rope and the Sixers are playing the dopes and they're hanging back a little bit, because the real season, as we all know, doesn't start until mid-April when the playoffs get going.
Okay, that's a fair point, but what if the real season starts and you're playing the Nets? I mean, that's you want to be tuned up a little bit if you're going to play those guys. And, you know, if you're the second seed and they get the seventh seed, you know, or if they weirdly get the eighth seed or something, you know, who knows? I mean, I wouldn't put anything past that team. That's fair, but I also just think, like, because the Nets are looming, like, this isn't the past where it's like, you know, you get to play the Pistons if you're the one seed or the two, or you know what I mean? It's like, this is like the Nets are really looming out there. If it was just even Toronto, I think would be kind of annoying to play, you know,
sure.
If you,
Toronto's
if you
always annoying,
but it's, yeah, I mean, I can't believe how good they are this year. I mean, that's another Nurse is right up there with Spo, but yeah, dude, I don't know. I mean, I just think, especially because this team just came together, I think you're right that they've kind of found themselves in, you know, almost by accident, a game and a half behind. But especially when it's like, I hate to be this guy, but it's like Doc, I don't trust Doc in the playoffs. That's
you should move to Philly. You'd fit right in.
Yeah.
nobody in Philly likes Doc. Everybody
and I love Harden because of how hilarious he is. Like, because I really love someone who squanders their natural ability to go to a strip club. That's my kind of guy. I know all about it. You know, you could check my grades in college, my senior year, as you know, how precipitously they fell when I, you know, was able to, when I had a job and had like money for, you know, certain fun activities. And that's also how I live as a stand-up comedian. It's like on the road, it's, you know, am I going to wake up or am I going to go to bed early and go over my act and be fresh for the show? Or am I going to be hung over until 4 p.m.? I'm from the Harden camp of working where it's like, max out your natural ability, have a good ass time, you know? Yeah, and absolutely. I respect him for that. And I would love to see him win, because I would love to see, like, because everything now has gone to like LeBron spends $2 million on his body. Steph Curry sleeps in a hyperbaric time chamber to get, you know, it's like they're getting, Kobe was getting, you know, his own blood spun in Germany to get his knee. It's like, we're doing all these crazy things where it's like, I would love it if a guy with a little pot belly, because he's had Magic City wings for lunch the day before a playoff series, if he somehow won.
The risque buffet.
if someone drops 40 with some strip club mac and cheese sloshing around in their guts, that's my guy.
Right, like the daytime Tuesday buffet too. Nighttime weekend, like no, the really hardcore.
No, not with the executive chef, with the day, whoever's in there working the day shift. I feel like the day shift, we make a lot of jokes about day shift weekday strippers, but the weekday strip club chef, he can't be much better. You know what I mean?
No, so just pulling a guy off the street.
As much as spiritually I am rooting for him to win, all the evidence is showing that it's not, you know, he had the honeymoon. He had that honeymoon in Brooklyn last year where he was, you know, people were talking about him as the MVP. That's how much he bounced back from being like the most hated guy in the league for how he was, you know, ruining that situation with the Rockets. He was so good before he hurt his hamstring or his knee, I forget, that people were like, this guy could be MVP because he's carrying these Nets. That was at least like a, you know, a 3-month honeymoon. The honeymoon with the Sixers seems to have lasted 3 games. So it's like, and he's kind of, you know, back to being James. He's out there. He's at that birthday party after they get, which again, I love.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of guy that loves it. But that's not the kind of guy that I would be super, you know, you combine him with Doc and then you combine the fact that your best player is 7'3", you know, just a huge human being who might just break down because you've been riding him hard as hell the whole season. It's like, it's just not looking, there's a lot of things that aren't looking good for the Sixers, you know, kind of just outside of the court. Cause I thought the fit on the court has been good. I actually thought that they're playing better than I thought they would together, but it's all the other stuff that I'm worried about.
I mean, all the other stuff is the story of the Philadelphia 76ers in perpetuity, right? I mean, like, they lead the league in drama for the last 20 years.
Yes, absolutely.
And, like, they got guys almost dying of peanut allergies, and they draft two point guards who forget how to shoot, and they got a GM who's got burner accounts. I mean, like, it never stops with them off the court. But
it's awesome.
Again, playoff basketball, different thing. I'm cautiously optimistic about this.
They are poised to play a really annoying style to watch, but that might work in the playoffs, right? Like, they're poised to be like, grind it to a halt, slow. We're going to play slow as hell. We're going to play iso ball. We got two of the best guys in the league that get to the line, and we've got one of the best defensive centers in the game, maybe the best defensive center, you know, even taking Gobert into account. When Embiid is really locked in, I think he's just as good. So
that's amazing.
I absolutely see a path to that. I'm just saying, man, you got Doc Rivers lurking. You got 3-1 lurking. You got Harden's like string of horrific game sixes lurking. There's a lot of stuff.
Man, you're just bodying the Sixers. I don't know how this happened.
Well, this is because I am ready to body every single team.
All right. Well, let's body some other teams because the Sixers you've now thoroughly flattened the Sixers. So,
I'm rooting for Harden. Get over there with some glitter in your beard. Drop 40 with some body glitter in your beard, James.
he's got the singles ready to rock for the playoffs. So that grouping of Bucks, Sixers, and Celtics, we've gotten your take on the Sixers. The Bucks are the defending champions, and we know your feelings about Giannis, and I think that, you know, they're obviously going to be right in the mix. Let's together body this next team, the Celtics.
I would love that.
Everybody is high on them right now. They've been on a tear for months, 9-1 over their last 10. You know, their point differential is +6.4, best in the conference. I don't have to tell you about their point differential. Stop. New York and Philly hate each other, but our one common bond is our hatred of Boston. I liked them so much better earlier in the season when they were bad. And now all of a sudden
they were
now they figured it out. Like, I hate this.
I know. I hate it too. And it's like, the one thing I'm thinking is like, was Schroeder this bad? Like, was he really? Like, is this how bad Dennis Schroeder is? Yeah. Like, look, there's other stuff that's happened. And I think a lot of it is just like Udoka in the beginning of the season. I was like, I think he's cool. He's awesome. He's got that cool story about when he's playing for the Nigerian national team where there's a brawl and he's just knocking guys out. The guy's literally married to Nia Long. I mean, it doesn't get cooler than that. You know, he's a handsome guy. It sucks. I was like, this guy is too cool for the Celtics. It won't work. These chowder chugging dorks. It will be incompatible. It'll be like two magnets. When you put the two positive ends together, just bounce back. And that's what I thought was happening, you know? And especially when you go from Brad Stevens to Ime, where it's like, Brad Stevens, you know, the guy can, you know,
he's like a boat shoe come to life. Yeah.
Exactly. He's a dork. So I was hoping just spiritually Ime Udoka would not work because Boston is so lame. But at the same time, clearly what in the beginning of the season looked like, hey, does this guy like go after his players too much? It's like, cause he really was throwing them under the bus in a way that I loved. But it turns out it worked and it seems like they needed to hear it. And it seems like they just, I mean, swapping out Derek White for Schroeder gives them like a guy who's unselfish and like moves the ball around. And, you know, but what I am hoping is that they're just, I don't know. I still, at the end of the day, don't fully, I think Tatum is, I think people overrate Tatum a little much. And
he's
really good. He's really good.
But I hate it. He's really good.
He's really good, but I think like this is a make or break season for him, or postseason for him, where it's like, look, if this guy somehow takes his team, because it's going to have to be him. I think Jaylen Brown's awesome, but I do think like, and look, defensively, it annoys me how good they are. I mean, they just spanked the Jazz, who are also frauds, who I don't believe in. They're sort of, to me, they're Boston West, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I love that. I love that. For so many different reasons, they're Boston
West. I mean, Ainge is just over there. I mean,
Of course he is, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And all I can say is that it's a little too sweet, and I think that Boston is cursed for everything Ainge has done, the way they treated players, the way they treated Isaiah Thomas. I think it's just, all I can say is that the basketball gods, this is them getting Boston very excited, juicing the whole team, the whole town up, to only break their hearts and to have them lose in the first round to the Nets. That's what I'm saying, is that this is a big spiritual...
taking out the Celtics and the Sixers in the first round. Apparently,
they're going to play them
crushing
both.
Everybody.
They're going to play both of them. They're going to just borrow whoever they play in the first. Maybe the Hornets will be allowed to borrow KD and Kyrie, and that's how it's going to be done. But one way or another, it's going to happen. And at the end of the day, I also feel like there's two things that might be destined here. It'll be the Bucks take them out so that it's even sweeter for me, where Giannis absolutely steamrolls them. And I do think he is the biggest problem for them, obviously. And Embiid, too, will be difficult for them to deal with. But I wish I had more tangible reasons why the Celtics were going to lose, other than pure hater, the pure hater in me.
No, that's okay.
I think the hate is powerful enough that I can will them to lose from the TV screen personally.
You had mentioned how like this run has gotten the entire town so jazzed up to believe in the Celtics, and like Celtics fans are coming out of the woodwork. Previously, they had like gone off to whatever rocks that they hide under when they weren't playing well. And now all of a sudden they come slithering out to pump up their chests, and these Duncan dorks are everywhere. And I sent you a picture. You and I were talking about this and laughing about it. And I encourage people to go and check this out on SI's Twitter feed at SI Now. But some guy somewhere, I think it was probably, and it rhymes again with Mike Pina, got a tattoo and it says Boston Celtics 2022 World Champions. And he's already gotten it. And I just can't tell you how much I hate this.
Yeah, I hate it. First of all, I love it because they're not going to win the championship. I am on record. Like, they might make a run. It might be annoying. They might, you know, feel like they're poised, whatever. But look, that's been the Celtics the whole time. That they've always felt like they're on the cusp. And again, I think they've deserved the karma of those. You know, they got the picks, whatever. They bamboozled the Nets, but I think they deserve the karma for how they've treated, especially Isaiah Thomas, but just like how Ainge just kind of like treated players as like disposable, and they're so close, and they never make it, which I think is worse than just being bad, you know, on some level.
Sure.
But this is good because this guy has a tattoo, and it's a disgusting tattoo.
It's not
like
a good
tattoo. The best part. It's not a good tattoo. It's not there. Listen, whatever you want to say about them, they're cool little Celtic guy who spins the basketball. That's a nice mascot. That's good graphic design. This guy got just a block of black ink in horrible writing. It doesn't even look like official Celtics font. It looks like a bootleg T-shirt you would buy in the stadium next to the or outside the stadium.
They
screen
printed his arm.
Yeah. Exactly. It looks horrible. You know, I can't wait to see what kind of Dropkick Murphys tattoo he covers it up with in six months when they lose to either the Nets or the. I'm hoping it's the Bucks. I would love to vanquish the Celtics personally, but I think it's good because this is, you know, this guy will feel even stupider when the Celtics do lose.
I love that. That's something that we can all hope for, is for Boston to feel even stupider. That's what I live for, frankly. I want to run through a couple more of these Eastern Conference teams. So the next two teams before that, like play-in line, are the Bulls and the Cavs, who both started off hot. Like the Cavs, I think, you know, they're kind of playing with house money because nobody expected them to be good at all. Mobley has been a killer. They're playing a really weird style, Stav, where they have, like, they've got Lauri Markkanen and, you know, Jaren Allen got hurt, but before he went down, he was playing really great. And Mobley and also Kevin Love. So they're running like four bigs out there with Darius Garland, and they've been good, but they're falling off a little bit. And then the Bulls, obviously Lonzo got hurt, and, you know, injuries have felled them a little bit, but both of those teams, I think, playing better than we might have expected before the season.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think, again, the Cavs, I think you're absolutely right, where it's like it is house money and it shouldn't work in any way. And they've lost. I mean, yeah, we don't even talk about Sexton. We don't even talk about Rubio. I mean, they keep losing.
Rubio was doing
great. Rubio was so important for them. And then, I mean, with Jared Allen, it's like that. Jared Allen and Mobley, I think, is the reason that you can basically play either Lowry or Kevin Love as, like, you know, a weird three. You know what I mean? Like, just stand in the corner, rebound, because those guys are such incredible defenders that you could just mix and match them. You know, with a more deficient defender at the four spot, or even if at the three spot, they can, like, really cover up a lot of mistakes. You know, both of them are insanely good defensive centers. And so losing Mobley's been tough, but again, I think it is house money. And I think, like, what did Cleveland really think was going to happen? I mean, this team, they have, I know Garland's good, but, you know,
so good.
They don't have it. I mean, who else scores? And I mean, I guess the LeVert trade is maybe your answer to that, but it's like, really, there's not much scoring punch on the rest of this roster. I mean,
I'm so high on Mobley, though. I mean, for him to be that good this
absolutely
soon, like, he's gonna be an absolute monster for a very, very long time.
Oh, he's unbelievable for sure.
And if I'm them, you know, I'm looking at this season as just like a massive, massive win, where you
huge
go, okay, we've got two cornerstones in Mobley and Garland, and, you know, we go out and get LeVert, and, you know, I like that trade fine. But just to say, okay, we're positioned now to add in some pieces around these two guys, and just to have a homegrown, really good Eastern Conference team that came out of nowhere. I mean,
completely
think about
nowhere.
This stuff. Like, you know, people were saying, oh, you know, what happens if, you know, LeBron wouldn't rule it out, right? He had said, I wouldn't rule out going back to Cleveland.
You know what?
If you're Cleveland, you rule that out. You don't want any part of LeBron right now. You've already got a good team.
Yeah, I know. That is so funny. I mean, that is, yes, it makes sense in the way that, like, you know, you play a basketball video game, you rule out LeBron, but it's like, LeBron's farewell tour probably puts more money back into, you know, Dan Gilbert's pocket.
Yeah, he's lining
his pockets way more with the LeBron farewell tour than he is even by, you know, foreclosing on people's homes with predatory loans. So I think they do it. What I mean, look, you want the LeBron farewell tour, but I know what you're saying. From a basketball standpoint, they don't want to be in this guy's shadows, right? But honestly, in a weird way, he would be. I mean, he's LeBron, old man LeBron with Mobley and with Garland. I think actually is sick.
Okay,
like, as a basketball, like, he's running the high post offense type of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
If he would play that, like, senior emeritus role, sure.
Yeah.
But I seriously doubt he would. I can't imagine LeBron going back to Cleveland again and being like, yeah, I'm going to let these two kids be the main guys, and I'm going to just play this, like, auxiliary role. That's not LeBron. Yeah.
That's not LeBron, but, man, even he's got to age at some point. I think he's 37 or whatever, you know, it's like maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's not next year. You're telling me when LeBron's 40, he doesn't want to come in, keep padding his stats, play 20 minutes. And then, like, where I would be annoyed if I was them is he would try and poach a finals MVP from them. He would try and, like, you know, that's where he would come alive. But I could see him being like late era Tim Duncan to their Kawhi when he's literally 42 years old, you know, but I don't think it's going to happen.
If I'm Kobe Altman, I'm good with what I got now. All right. So I want to run through these last.
Want to talk Bulls real fast?
Yeah, let's do Bulls. I mean, how do you feel about, you know, obviously DeMar DeRozan has been resurgent this year. Not even resurgent. I mean, he's always been good, but really revelatory.
Nah, it's been crazy. Yeah, it has been resurgent. Good. It's not unfair to say resurgent because he was good on those Spurs, and it was like he was always a guy that you'd be like, oh, he had a better season than I realized. Every year with the Spurs, you'd be like, oh, yeah, DeMar's good. And it's like, oh, look at his assists. You know, it's like because no one's really watching. They're kind of boring. I didn't anyway as a more casual fan. I wasn't watching too much Spurs basketball. But, yeah, he's been, you know, out of his mind. And his clutch numbers are hilarious. And his, like, you know, just overall demeanor's been wild. But I think, yeah, you are kind of seeing the limits of – I think what everyone forecasted would happen in the playoffs just has started happening a little earlier, where it's like without their elite perimeter defense that was kind of holding the rest of it together with glue or with tape, basically, they're just kind of falling apart. And them thinking Tristan Thompson was going to be the big defensive five upgrade is hysterical, dude. I mean, the Bulls just spanked them. I watched that game a couple nights ago, and it was like, Giannis put him under the basket you're kind of watching and you're doing other stuff. And I just saw Giannis dunk on somebody and I was like, oh, that must have been a guard. And it was Tristan Thompson who had position on him, but there was nothing he can do about it. He has not been the same since those hookah pictures leaked. I think that did something to his psyche fundamentally. But at the end of the day, I think it really just comes down to without Lonzo, especially, and with that gaping defensive hole at five, it's like, you're just going to be able to score on them with even competent big man play. And, you know, unless they really catch fire and Vucevic has a different level, which I don't think he does, and they just become they score more and Lonzo comes back. And look, Pat Williams is back. You know, that's good. He played in that game. I mean, that's solid that they have. But again, this guy's a second-year player that missed most of his second year. So what are you really – You know, he's not going to be the big wing stopper. You don't throw that guy at Jason Tatum and expect him to shut him down. So I just think ultimately it is like, it's kind of Clevelandish, but without as rosy an outlook, where it's like, this is a good, you know, you guys overperformed. You had a fun season. DeMar is probably going to make at least third team all NBA, even though he kind of slid. People were talking about him as an MVP. He'll probably make at least third team. That's something. LaVine might stay. And then, you know, Karnisovic has proven to be a good GM. Maybe he can find a way to like flip Vucevic again or something, or like figure out a way to like, or maybe Pat Williams next year really does, you know, develop. And in this little window, they can do something. But I think it's a good season, but I think they ultimately will end up being a little more disappointing than they wanted, only because of how high their expectations were. But if you told them you're the five seed at the beginning of the year, I think they'd have been thrilled with that, right?
Yeah, that hot start, I think, was like a little bit of fool's gold. But despite that, right, I mean, like, as we record this, they're 3-7 over their last 10. Not great. And yet, only 4.5 games out of first place because that Eastern Conference is so loaded and so packed in tight. I want to throw out these last, bubble teams for the play-in here. So you've got the Raptors, the Hornets, the Hawks below this line, and, of course, your Nets, who you have taking out everybody in the first round.
Except
the
Bucks.
The entire Eastern Conference will lose to the Nets.
Unless they get the Bucks, in which case it will be a sweep.
Right, exactly. Of this group, the Raptors, Nets, Hornets, and Hawks, who do you like? The Nets.
Obviously the Nets, but honestly, it's kind of a cop out because they're the 7 and 8 seed, but like, I just don't like the Hawks have just been so bad. Like, the Hawks really pulled the rug out from under us, I think, where it's like they really felt like they were the like classic, the young team that made a leap that watch out for them next year that just doesn't happen, you know? And I think that goes back to, this is, again, New York, a little bias here, but it's like, this is some Trae Young slander that's about to happen where I just feel like it's not his ability, right? Clearly he's out of control, right? Yeah. Like, he is so good. He's, you know, he's Steph-like with everything except moving without the ball, which obviously is one of the huge things that makes Steph, don't get me wrong. But an insane passer for a size, an insane shooter, all that stuff. But obviously the defense is a problem, but also I just feel like guys don't like him. Like, I feel like there's every year.
New York doesn't like him.
But dude, even on his own team, it's like every year there's like, oh, there's rumblings of discontent in the Hawks locker room. And it's like, you know, they sign John Collins to that big extension. And you're like, oh, they probably figured it out. But he had problems with the last coach. And it's like, okay, maybe he wasn't like, he's not Spoelstra, right? Like, but at the same time, it's like this, I thought they were going to bounce back. I thought they found something with, their coach used to coach the Pacers. Yes, McMillan. I thought they had figured it out with McMillan and there was like, oh wow, this is a team, but I don't know, man. I think maybe they had like a really well-timed dead cat bounce from how much Trey did not like, Lloyd Pierce. Yes, exactly. I thought they just kind of bounced back because, but maybe it's just that Trey really didn't like him that much, that he kind of like was a good teammate for 3 months and things broke the right way and they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think, you know, all that chatter earlier on where Trey's already talking about how the regular season's boring. It's like, well, bro, it's clearly not boring enough for you because it's like you're barely getting you're not getting into the playoffs. I don't see them being able to beat the Raptors. And I think the Hornets in a similar way, I think they're just, I don't think it's the same thing. I just think they're kind of young and in their development, they haven't really put it together and they have a problem at the center position too. And I just think they're a little erratic. And you can't say that about the Raptors, even though, you know, they're just like a weird, you know,
plucky, indie. Professional, like exactly. Straight ahead. They're going to like grind you down. And like, you know, aside from Siakam and Fred VanVleet, like that's just a professional basketball team where they don't have like a lot of stars, right?
They try hard.
Right.
They're big, right? They defend and they just like have the best coach in that foursome that we just mentioned. Definitely is Nurse. So, and look, Siakam and VanVleet were on that championship team. They have a little bit of that too. So I just can't see it not being Raptors and Nets because I just don't believe in the Hawks. And I think they have something to figure out that I think is more personality based than anything. Yeah, I mean, the Gallo contract is about to be bad. I'm sorry. What'd you say, John? I missed the,
no, I was saying it's tough with Collins being injured too. I mean, like they're, you know,
right. It's sure. It's, I mean, they're missing Collins spot, obviously, but at the same time, wasn't one of their big things supposed to be depth? I mean, going into the season, it was like they have too many guys. So if any team was supposed to be able to weather this kind of with all these guys that in theory could create their own shot, in theory could, you know, whatever. I don't know, man. I think it's more personality based because I actually thought they did a good job of building that team. And I laughed, you know, 5 years ago when they were like, we're going to kind of create our own Golden State, you know? And it's like, and which is ridiculous. You don't really have the ability to do that. But at the same time, they really did. I thought they did a good job of building around Trey. And then it just all kind of disappeared this year. I don't know. I really don't know what it is. And I have to, as a hater, attribute that to Trae Young doesn't have the winning mentality. He's a loser in his heart. And that's what he gets for bowing in Madison Square Garden.
I think that's disappointing to me because, you know, we obviously know that they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year because Ben Simmons decided to like never shoot and pass up a dunk.
So if they're
that bad and they advance past the Sixers, like what does that say about the Sixers? But okay,
Doc Rivers is a bad coach.
Right, perfect. Let's body the Sixers just a little bit more. I want to wrap this up because I want to give you a little bit of time to talk about your New York Knicks, who you know, Trae Young loves to absolutely demolish in their own house and talk trash about. But at the beginning of the season with the Knicks, you had the whole Bing Bong thing. People were excited, and that lasted about a second and a half, and now you're Knicks again.
One game, one overtime win. I mean, it really is hilarious. Yeah.
So how do you feel about the prospects of your franchise? I mean, RJ Barrett has looked good this year. My thing with the Knicks is, you know, the fish rots from the head, right? You still got James Dolan. And I just will never believe the Knicks can be good with James Dolan.
Sure. And I mean, I think that's true. But it's like, you know, let's also not get crazy. It's like, all the other owners are like, you know, what are they, finance guys or like Republican mm-hmm. donors? You know what I mean? It's like, yes, it's like Dolan is definitely a bad. And look, me and Sam, I wish Sam was here because you would the lunacy that would be coming out of his mouth right now with this question would be crazy. But we worked for MSG. Like, we had Sam had a show that I was a writer on, and the culture permeates through every part of that business, I'll put it that way, where it's like it's just kind of tough to get anything done, and it's a little dysfunctional. And you know, I think on some level you are right that the fish rots from the head, but I do think to give him a little ounce of credit, he has shown the willingness to, since Phil Jackson, let a guy, I think he learned from like how badly the Mello thing happened, where he overruled I'm so bad with names, but he's the G used to, huh?
I'm also you're bad.
Yeah, he looks like Droopy Dog. He's old as hell. He was the one that did the Mello trade because Dolan forced him basically instead of waiting for free agency. But I think he learned ever since then. It's like, okay, he just has picked wrong who he's trusted, right? Because it was Phil Jackson, and that was a obvious glaring error. At the time, I thought it was dumb, but he kind of let Phil do whatever he wanted. And now he's kind of doing that with Leon Rose, who I think at first everyone was like, well, he's not trading draft picks. And in New York, if you don't trade your first round draft pick, that basically makes you, you know, that makes you the Raptors GM, basically. That makes you Masai Ujiri. But then very quickly, it's turned into the thing where it's like, okay, let's look at what happened. Passed on Halliburton at the time. That was, as much as I love Obi, I think he's a fun player, and he had a good, nice game yesterday too. And if his three ball comes around, he can be a really, really nice, like off the bench player, I believe. But at the same time, it's like you pass on Halliburton. That's a glaring error. And it's like, you know, the D Rose thing happened to be a good trade. In fact, he's too good because it's like, we relied on him so much in the year 2022 when he goes out, our team folds. And that's a huge problem. Crazy. As much as I love Julius, and that year that he gave us, you know, will be special and matters a lot to Knicks fans. I thought it was a mistake paying him instead of making him sort of prove it with fans in a regular environment. And they did that. I think the contract would be a lot. It'll be a lot lower this year, I'll tell you that much. It wouldn't be what he got. And then I also think the Cam Reddish trade, as you know, as much as I thought Cam Reddish was worth taking a swing on, you look at what the value of a first round pick was in this trade deadline. It's like, it seemed like you get a lot more for a first rounder than Cam Reddish. And not only that, but you didn't play him. Like, and now he's hurt.
That's the part.
And we have a couple interesting younger guys that I think, if you know, you have Grimes, you have Quickly, you have Obi, you have RJ, obviously. But you know, Taj Gibson's out there getting 30 minutes.
But that's a Tibbs thing, right? I mean, Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson component traces directly back, and not playing young guys and not trying out Reddish. Yeah. And this all traces directly back to Tibbs, who, if he were allowed, would shorten his rotation to four people. Like, yeah. He'd be like, my team's on the floor. Like, that's who he is.
Yeah. No, so, you're right. You're right. And I was against, I didn't think the Tibbs hiring was right in the first place. It took me a while to get swept up into hysteria last year. I mean, that was last year's, me and Sam's podcast was like, he bought in from the second. I mean, he does every year. Every year he's like, this team is good. And he happened to be right last year. I mean, he gets no credit for thinking they'd be good, because he's said that about every Knicks team. You know, he's gone on, you know, he's talked, when he was younger, he thought Ronaldo Balkman was going to be the big savior of the Knicks. So he's a lunatic. And it took me a while to get on board. And then I was like, you know what? I went to the playoff game, where the one game they won, I was in the Garden. Mm-hmm. And I kind of carried that mental illness through to this season, where I was like, no, it's good. We'll get a little something from Kemba. We'll, you know, Fournier. I thought the contract was too big, but he's a shooter. That's market rate for a shooter. And it's just been so clear that, like,
yeah,
this team, like, what made this team special last year was their defense. And I thought it was a big mistake getting rid of Bullock, who has played good for the Mavericks and who's relatively cheap and a 3-and-D guy. Even though his offense wasn't very imaginative, it's like he still could shoot the ball okay, and he played good defense. And I thought we went way too heavy on the offense, and that was clearly what happened. And I feel bad for Kemba because I think in a better situation, he could have been a guy who comes off the bench and, you know, does a little scoring for you, but he's just in a weird spot with us. And I'm not feeling good about it, John. I'll be honest with you.
I was going to say, you hide it great. I mean, yeah. You just had a very detailed, you just had like a 10-minute rant on everything that's wrong with the Knicks, which I, you know, even though you destroyed the Sixers, I love for you to destroy your own team, the Knicks. It's a good place for us to leave it. Yes. Because I don't know what's going to happen with the Sixers. I don't know what's going to happen with the Eastern Conference, because honestly, you could put eight teams into a hat and pull out a name.
I'm going to tell me
they
you,
won
bro.
The conference, and I would believe it, but
the
I love
Bucks.
That you, that Let's would be, not get- is, if it's not the Sixers, that's a fine team to pick, but I really do like you going, man, here's 72 different reasons why the Knicks are still the Knicks.
And I could keep going, but you know, we've only got so much time in the day.
An excellent job by you breaking it down. Before we go, promote yourself. Where can people find you on social, and then what do you have cooking work-wise?
Yeah. So I've recently started really working. I'm a stand-up comic first and foremost. I mean, Pod Don't Lie is a fun, you know, me and Sam, our relationship was based half on stand-up comedy, half on talking hoops at shows. So we were like, why don't we just turn the mics on? Why don't we just have these conversations we're having anyway? We do no preparation. We do nothing. But if you like a very stupid show with very vulgar analogies, I had to really button myself up. I had a real Jimmy Butler take that was not appropriate for the SI airwaves. But if you want it, if you want like more, a more, you know, X, you know, more sex joke, more vulgar NBA show, listen to Pod Don't Lie with Sam and Stav. We do a free episode every week, and we do an extra Patreon, so two episodes a week. And then I'm a stand-up comic, like I said, so my YouTube channel is something I'm really working on right now, and I'm going to release a special next month, awesome. Free hour-long special. I just want people to see it. So, yeah, I'm building on my – it's youtube.com/StavrosHalkias. I'm on TikTok, StaviBaby2. I'm on Instagram, StaviBaby2. It's all. I post a lot of stand-up. So if you want to see, you know, little stand-up clips, I do it one a day, and I do longer clips on YouTube once or twice a week. And like I said, next month we'll have a free hour-long comedy special that I just want people to go out there and see. So that's what I got, baby.
Go and check him out. Go watch those. Go listen to the pod. It's very good. You say you don't do any prep and that you weren't sure about SI. You killed it on open floor. I can't Thanks, be sure after this performance it. That we just had that Mike and Chris and Rohan are even coming back. I think it's probably open floor with Gons and Stav now. And
that's SI right. We're is about sending us a contract. Guys.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Look for the contract. We're going to sign that. I'm John Gonzalez. You can listen to Sports Illustrated weekly. Every Wednesday, available wherever you get your podcasts. Please listen and subscribe. We've got a lot of really good stuff. This week we have Jenny Vrentis from the New York Times breaking down the allegations against Deshaun Watson. We have a story about Ukrainian professional athletes who have taken up arms against the Russian invasion. And then we finish it off with something decidedly lighter where Jerry Rice joins us just to have a good time and laugh a little bit, because the first two stories are pretty heavy. But stop. This was so funny, so fun. Listen
Thanks,
to
guys.
Pod Don't Lie. I really enjoyed this. And thanks to all of you for listening to Open Floor. This was a blast.